It's called Good Friday, and it's good for us. It's good because what the Lord has done has credited us with a privileged place of having his righteousness. And so we have opportunity to celebrate today, even if we're not together. We're sitting around your dinner table, perhaps. We're sitting around ours, and we have the bread and the wine that we will share. So if you've got some bread and grape juice or something that you would, some elements that you would want to have to share with, then it'd be good to have that ready. It also would be good to look at the scriptures and to look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and reading on from there a couple of chapters, and same with Mark 14 for a couple of chapters, and Luke 22, because they all give an account of the things that Jesus said and did at this very time that we're celebrating. John chapter 13 through to 19 has some different detail, but fills out the story. So they're terrific parts of the Word of God for you to take time to reflect and to just ready your hearts to allow the wonder of the cross to be your meditation.
Today we're going to read from Matthew 26, 17 to 35. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
This is a powerful part of the story. And Jesus knew exactly what lay before him. He knew, as he had set his face as flint towards Jerusalem, he knew that the cross awaited him. There's no other implement of death that is acknowledged like the cross. Today it's a sign of mercy and care. It's a symbol of hope and peace. And it's left as a remembrance of people's lives. It signifies all around the world a place of worship. But what is it about the cross that speaks to you? What is it that you realize where you personally remember what God has done for you in his Son, Jesus, on that cross? Many important aspects may rush into your mind, but what stands out? What are you appreciating, and what is impacting you afresh at this time? Social distancing and self-isolation are part of our current thinking to save us from the spread of an unseen virus, COVID-19. And a level of aloneness has become a necessity that has changed so much of our daily lives, our time with family, and our engagement in community. And for how long? We don't know. We see, though, in the Lord Jesus, we see him entering into our aloneness. Yes, crowds followed after him and disciples were with him most of the time, but how was it for the Son of God to be self-isolated from his Father God? Willing to be removed from eternal presence and the unity that he and his Father and the Spirit had for all time, then to be confined to be like us, conceived an embryo, a newborn baby, an infant, a little boy, a man, here with us and away from his community in heaven. He stands alone as one to be given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is introduced by John the Baptist, his cousin, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who alone can do that except the Lord God?" The aloneness of his coming to save us, how can we fathom that? Jesus' closest friends included an opportunistic trader, and he tells the rest of his disciples that they would all fall away. He makes the most of the Passover meal, though, and we have the bread and the cup here, and I hope you have some emblems as well. And Jesus said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." Jesus knew what was ahead. But how alone would he have been among his friends who, at this very Passover meal with their Lord, would then dispute among themselves about who would be the greatest? His aloneness when his close friend Peter could not and would not be able to follow through with his commitment to him, but before dawn would deny him three times. The aloneness of Gethsemane, the aloneness of Pilate's court, and the utter aloneness of the cross. The cry, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" The Lamb of God, taking the sin of the world, did it alone. He suffered the violation and the isolation of my sin. Sin isolates me and sin isolates you. It isolates you from holy God and it isolates us from one another. You've probably heard the phrase, you know, when people are in a difficult time, that he had no one. Sin does that. Something goes horribly wrong when sin is at play in our lives. And Jesus entered into our gone horribly wrong world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, and he faced it alone. He suffered our aloneness to bring us back, to redeem us, and he did it on a lonely cross. As we share this bread and this cup, we're saying some important things. We're saying, Jesus, I appreciate and I remember your suffering. We're saying we appreciate his aloneness in bearing our sin so that we could be brought back. We're saying we're grateful that we can be forgiven. We're saying thank you for the privilege of belonging now by trusting in what he has done for us. And we're confident that we, in fact, are never alone again. So while Jesus was eating and leading his disciples in that Passover meal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." If you'd like to take the bread and eat it now and remember your Saviour and his broken body. The scripture says that then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." And so we take this cup with thankfulness. Let's pray and express our thanks to the Lord. Almighty God, we bow before you. Lord, many of us in the privacy of our own home, sitting about our own tables, but joined together because we belong to you, because of what, Lord Jesus, you have done for us. We want to thank you, Lord, for your body broken, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your blood shed. We want to say thank you that, Lord, that apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we thank you, Lord, it was your precious blood shed, yes, so long ago, but still cleanses us today. And so on this Good Friday, we take this cup and we offer you thanks for the extent of your love. And we offer you thanks in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Pray that you take the time to reflect. And I trust that this next song would help you do just that. In Christ alone. God bless you.
Fierce as droughts and storms.